The DVD explosion has made lots of Hollywood musicals available on DVD. Our critic Lord Schwartz surveys some of the best and some of the worst of them.
Though many Hollywood musicals were inspired by successful Broadway shows, Hollywood also tended to ruin the shows that were adapted. Some of the greatest live performances I've ever seen on stage, like Ethel Merman as Gypsy Rose Lee's mother in Gypsy, or Richard Burton as King Arthur in Camelot, were not preserved in the film versions. Memorable songs from Cole Porter's Du Barry Was a Lady or Leonard Bernstein's On the Town were simply eliminated. Still, even weaker movie musicals usually have numbers worth waiting for. Cole Porter's effervescent Can-Can was turned into a lumbering film that's rescued the few times Frank Sinatra or Marie Chevalier are allowed to sing. Hollywood's original musicals are often more successful than the adaptations. Cole Porter wrote a terrific new score for a film with a famously checkered reputation. It was the first big Judy Garland musical that didn't make money, maybe because it was just too sophisticated for 1948 audiences, or censors. It's The Pirate, based on a play by S.N. Behrman, that originally starred theatrical giants Alfred Lunt and Lynn Fontanne. Directed by Vincent Minnelli, The Pirate is a brilliantly colorful book musical that tells the engagingly witty story of a young woman in the West Indies whose vivid imagination is being suppressed by a restrictive colonial society. Gene Kelly plays a traveling actor who literally hypnotizes Garland and pretends to be the ruthless pirate of her fantasies.
There's a pirate known to fame. Black Makoko was the pirate's name. In his day, the tops was here. Round the Caribbean or Caribbean Sea.
Manuel, wait!
Caribbean Sea, Mack the Black, round the Caribbean, round the Caribbean or Caribbean Sea. As a child, his nurse foretold, Mack was sure to be a pirate bold. For when feeding time had come, Mack could have a bottle, but a bottle of rum. Mack the Black.
Garland and Kelly also appear as guest stars in a mess of a film called Words and Music, a clumsy and wildly anachronistic biopic based on the partnership of Richard Rodgers and Lawrence Hart. To my mind, along with George and Ira Gershwin, Broadway's greatest songwriting team. You wouldn't know it from the movie, but Hart in real life was Jewish, alcoholic, and homosexual. He's played by Mickey Rooney, with whom he had nothing in common except his height. But Words and Music has some legendary musical numbers. Judy Garland singing Johnny One Note, Lena Horne's exhilarating The Lady is a Tramp, Ann Southern's touching Where's That Rainbow, and the late June Allison in a production number many film buffs regard her very best, Thou Swell.
Thou swell, thou witty, thou sweet, thou grand, wouldst kiss me pretty, wouldst hold my hand, for thine eyes are cute to what they do to me. Hear me holler, I choose a sweet lollapalooza in thee. I feel so rich in a hut for two rooms and kitchen. I'm sure would do, give me just a plot of, not a lot of land. And thou swell, thou witty, thou grand.
One of MGM's brightest musicals is one of Fred Astaire's best films without Ginger Rogers, Stanley Donen's Royal Wedding, about a brother and sister act suggested by Astaire and his sister Adele. Pure fiction, it's probably closer to reality than words and music. Its best-known song is, "How Could You Believe Me When I Said I Loved You When You Know I've Been a Liar All My Life?" But the film is even more famous for the inspired dance Fred Astaire does with one of his most graceful partners, a coat rack, and the magical number in which he dances on the walls and ceiling of his hotel room. It's been out on DVD before, but Warner has issued it in a sparkling new print that finally matches the movie's own sparkle. But the DVD musical buffs have probably been most impatient for is the sublimely silly, virtually plotless The Gang's All Here, which includes one of the most outrageous and visually dazzling musical numbers ever filmed. Carmen Miranda, in Busby Berkeley's kaleidoscopic hymn to the erotic tropics, The Lady in the Tutti Frutti Hat, with its overripe chorus girls and surrealistically overflowing cornucopia of Freudian strawberries and bananas.
I wonder why does everybody look at me and then begin to talk about the Christmas tree. I hope that means that everyone is glad to see the lady in the tutti frutti hat. The gentlemen, they want to make me say, si, si, but I don't tell them that, I tell them, yes, sirree. And maybe that is why they come for dates to me, the lady in the tutti frutti hat. Some people say I dress too gay, but every day I feel so gay. And when I'm gay, I dress that way. Something wrong with that? No. Americanos tell me that my heart is high, because I will not take it off to kiss a guy. But if I ever start to take it off, I do that once for Johnny Smith, and he is very happy with the lady in the tutti frutti hat.
On at least this one occasion, the usually more formulaic 20th Century Fox pulled out or ignored all the stops and allowed a director uninhibited poetic license.
Lord Schwartz is classical music editor of the Boston Phoenix and teaches English at the University of Massachusetts, Boston. You can download podcasts of our show on our website, freshair.npr.org.